guest among us.
He is and always will be. Welcome to our kitchen table for the first time in a hot minute.
I know.
It feels like.
Well, if you have not listened to the other podcast with Dick and Ed, I would strongly suggest to listen them and re-listen them, because even I did listen to them again and again during my week, and there are some hidden treasures that he says that I've missed even asking him. So it was a good refreshment.
I need to listen to them too.
And you have not listened to
them? I know,
them?
I'm a bad person.
It's okay.
Sorry, Deacon.
That's okay. Anyways, so we are coming back to St. Theophan in the book Path to Salvation. And we are finishing up the section 3, and at the end of section 3, St. Theophan includes like this a hint of what he's about to write. Mm-hmm. And this subsection, or however you want to call it, is how Christian life begins in mystery of baptism. And we are on page 31. Sorry, he's pointing it to me. So, St. Theophan says, the mysteries which primarily refer to the beginning of the Christian life are baptism and repentance. And if you think about it, what happens when a family who has a baby do? They bring a child to church at the time of baptism. Hopefully they are bringing it from birth, whenever it's the most safest. We know some in our parish that, you know, within a few days, and they would be with a newborn in the church while still not baptized, but over the years you can see that these kids are really thinking that this is their second home,
if
not the first home.
Absolutely.
And you can just see the beauty of it. So anyways, new parents and godparents, they bring the child during at the beginning of the baptism in the back of the church, and they wait for a priest to approach them. Hopefully the parents and godparents are worthy, and the ceremony starts. Now, I don't want this to be a theological reflection, because this is our podcast, not about it, but I would like to just say a couple of things that are connected to our Christian life, and I know that St. Theophan will talk about them, so maybe I'll just give like a little summary before he goes into detail. Yeah. So, what happens? Child is carried by godparents who are taking with parents who are taking responsibility for that child until the child is developed mentally. But we can choose, which is 5, 6, 7 years old.
Mm-hmm. For responsible for their
spiritual life. Mm-hmm. And that's basically where I think around that time is where they receive first confession too.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? Priest comes, he greets them, he says some prayers, and then right at the beginning, the priest tells the godparents who are holding the child and parents to turn around to the west, away from the altar. And what's happening there? They are turning behind themselves, and they're turning to Satan.
Mm.
And priest asks, do you renounce Satan and all his works and all his angels and all his service and all his pride? And parents and godparents, they say, I do renounce.
Mm-hmm.
But they are saying this for the child.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little bit weird for a church to say, I do renounce him, because this is just like this small unit of parents and godparents promising for that child.
Yeah.
They are the voice of that child.
Oh, can I interject really quick?
Go ahead.
I had never really thought about it until you just said this, but like they're turning away from the altar, they're turning to the west, and they're turning towards Satan. But it's also like in our church anyhow, I don't know if this is every church. Isn't that like the narthex or something that's at the back of the church?
Mm-hmm.
So like when you enter into the narthex, you're like entering into like this like heavenly realm.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're going out, you're like going into the world.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
It is.
I never thought about that until you just said that.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you pay attention to when I incense on Sundays for at the beginning,
yeah,
I incense the doors.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't incense the doors by the incense sanctifying the world.
Oh, interesting.
You know? So, yeah, that's a beautiful point.
Well, I mean, but you're renouncing, yeah, like the world, you know.
You're renouncing Satan. We are renouncing all his works.
Mm-hmm.
So if you read the fathers or these contemporary elders who had visions of demons crafting all kinds of traps
mm-hmm.
for people to fall into. So we are renouncing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're renouncing the angels and all his service, that all the sinful acts that we can think of, we are renouncing it at the moment.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay, you can continue.
No, so please jump in.
Yeah, no, it was just like a aha moment.
And then the priest asked three times, and then he finally asked, "Do you renounce him? Do you renounce Satan?" And the parents and godparents says, "I renounce him." Okay, now, he asked them to turn around, and
he asked them that three times too, right?
And then he asked,
"Oh yeah, yeah,
do you commit yourself to Christ?"
Mm.
And again, godparents and parents, they say, "I commit myself to him,"
mm-hmm.
three times.
And at this time, we're turned back
and
around.
Then now, everybody should be facing the altar.
Okay, cool.
You know,
yeah.
He's facing the... Because... At the altar, there's a Eucharist inside.
Yeah.
Okay. Cain might be barking. Thank you, Cain. And again, priest says, finally ask, "Are you sure? Do you commit yourself?" And if parents say yes, then priest asks, "Okay, but do you believe in him? Do you believe in Christ?" And that's when we say the creed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I believe in God, Father Almighty. And we go through all this prayer. And then again, priest asks, "Do you commit yourself? Because you've said everything in this creed that you believe. And if you have a problem with it, if you don't believe one thing, then that's your out."
Mm-hmm.
You know? So priest asks again, three times. And... baptism starts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they approach the fountain, and the child is being baptized.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the first huge step in the Christian life, and it makes sense for Saint Theophan to start with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, start with the baptism, because this is our promise. If you think about it, maybe I should not be jumping the gun.
It's okay.
But if we think about it, everybody has their own beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Every Christian who was baptized has given a promise to God that they will do their best to live a Christian life
mm-hmm.
without ifs or buts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a lot of I won't say tensions at the seminary, but there were a lot of guys who would say, like, "Well, why do I need to do this? It's for monks." For example, like fasting.
Why do I need to do what?
Certain ascetical things.
Oh, okay.
That seem to be more for monks rather than Christian. And, well, the answer always was, well... the gospel is the same.
Yeah.
You know, the detachment from the world is the same. And so it is for us the same thing. You know, gospel is the same. If you read the fathers, who most of them are monks, but some of them are not.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them live in the world and they live the holy life. So this is how the Christian life begins. And then St. John continues, therefore the rules concerning the beginning of life in a true Christian way are set forth first under the heading of baptism and then under repentance. So at the time of baptism, all we are promising everything, but at the same time we are being healed from all the sins, like we say in Psalm 50, from sins my mother conceived me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we are basically getting a blank slate to start a new life. But that's not all. Okay. If we were able to keep all the commandments, all the rules that were promised at the baptism, then there will be no need for repentance. But we have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because our nature is sinful. We love the pleasures. We love Satan. And many times we don't like God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it is important to reflect even when we are 20 years old, 50 years old, 100 years old, to reflect, what have we done at the baptism?
After baptism?
At the baptism, like the promises.
Oh, yeah, okay, yes. Okay.
So, like, what have we promised to God that what I will keep?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's more powerful. You asked me last week, when we were a little bit preparing for this, how about catechumens? Who are they?
Yeah, because there's this liturgy that we listen to that's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the
it's a CD.
Yeah, it's like a disc, like several, it's like an album or something.
Yeah.
But one of the parts of that is like catechumens depart.
Mm-hmm.
All you catechumens depart. And I was always like, I just said to Miran, like, wait, but what is, because I'm thinking it sounds like catechism or something. And so I mean, but they're like learning to be
right. So the catechumens are people who want to become Christian, so basically people who are our age or 100 year old person who
are unbaptized,
unbaptized, or they must be unbaptized.
Mm-hmm.
People who came to their senses and they realize, I want to be Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of funny that you said that, because during this time of Lent, okay, the three Sundays before Lent, during the Lent, every Sunday is a certain catechetical point from catechumens learn.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Holy Saturday, all the catechumens, so let's say if we had 20 people at our church who wanted to become Christians, they would get baptized on Holy Saturday.
Wow, cool.
Okay, before the Resurrection Matins.
Could you imagine Father having to dunk every one of those adults?
He'll probably give him a spray gun or something. So, but what happens during liturgy, when you ask me, when deacon says catechumens depart, it means all these non-Christians who are wanting to be Christians, are in the process of becoming Christians, must leave the liturgy.
Wow.
Because they are not worthy to participate what's about to happen.
Is that before like consecration?
Mm-hmm.
Or something? Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And that's why the deacons say, I'm sorry, well, I'm deacons, so that's why I say,
mm-hmm.
the doors, I'm not pointing towards the royal doors. I mean, I'm looking at the doors, but when deacon says the doors, let us be attentive. In all times, the subdeacons would take all the catechumens, they would literally kick them out, and they would shut and lock the doors.
Really? So, I've always wondered why what the doors means. Yeah.
So they could not. So this was the moment where deacons said, the doors, hey, subdeacons.
They need to get these people out. Wow.
But you know, now it sounds harsh, but when it was practiced, these kind of humans understood what's happening.
Yeah.
They knew that they are not worthy. Like, it's now if you would say like, well, you're a catechumen, you know, you gotta go.
Yeah.
They would probably get offended.
Sure.
Which is quite sad because this imagery of what is actually the Eucharist, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
it makes sense though.
It does.
Yeah, it makes sense that they would if they're not recognized, because I want to point this out because it kind of fits here. The last sentence that I thought was so cool in this little subsection, they receive a new name and a sign which is impressed upon the whole being of the one being baptized, by means of which later both heavenly and earthly beings recognize and distinguish them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I just think that it's so cool because they're like robed in something that is distinguishing them from earthly and heavenly people should and do distinguish them.
Yeah.
And when you're not baptized, you shouldn't be like experiencing the mystical thing that is happening in front of you if you're not worthy.
Yeah.
That's kind of amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And we like to listen to Father Josiah Tretham.
Mm-hmm.
He's an Orthodox priest, but which is nothing wrong with it. But he made a video from his own church about baptism this Holy Saturday because they do practice it.
Wow.
I don't think they kicked the catechumens out. I mean, I wouldn't either now, but they baptized catechumens on Holy Saturday.
Cool.
And what is cool is he had about 40 catechumens.
Wow.
From little babies to adults.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, before baptism, you could see everybody in dark clothes.
Mm.
And they, I'm about to like tear up, but, and then at the baptism, they would have like a walking baptistry. So it's in the shape of cross, and you would have step in and out.
Cool.
And so they would step, and then the priest would just like dunk them in. Mm-hmm. So they would have to like make the motion like submerging yourself under.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you're submerging yourself under, and then you're becoming a new being.
Mm-hmm.
And right after they got out, they are being vested in a white. You know, and then you can see the whole church being white. Maybe I'll share the link on our podcast so people can see it.
Cool.
It's quite moving process because, yes, during baptism we receive the new white garment. We don't see it, so that's why we put this physical white garment on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the white garment we should end our life with.
Yeah.
So that's why St. Theophan says heading of baptism and then under repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Because every sinful act, everything that is unconfessed, it's like a huge dirty stain on that cloth.
Mm-hmm.
It must be repented. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's a circle. Once somebody enters the baptism, they must repent all their life to keep that cloth as clean as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, and like you did, I'm sorry I'll share this, but you did a life confession last week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we should do. I believe that to have like one huge confession before, like now for us be having a baby,
mm-hmm.
to have this clear conscience and even a vague conscience, like what have I done in the past?
Yeah, because you have to say that even doing that, it was a hard confession, obviously, but it continues to like help me and make me even realize more forgotten sins that I
mm-hmm.
haven't confessed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because like, you're it's kind of going, you know, not that I'm remembering past sins, but just like that you're becoming more aware of your...
Well, the conscience is being awake.
Yeah.
Like your conscience is being sharper and...
It's something that I've never experienced before.
Yeah.
And I mean, if I encourage whoever, anybody, if you've never done that, it's... I know my good friend Jackie is really was happy that, mm-hmm. you know, encouraged me and stuff that to do this. But it was a really wonderful thing to do, especially before the baby.
Yeah. But, you know, it's this important, but then live confession should be every single Saturday,
right.
Every single month.
Yeah.
Maybe once a year, but how you keep yourself clean is also through repentance. Because we have to remember that once the sin is confessed, and if the sin is not done again mm-hmm. with some grace of God, then that sin is forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
God forgave it, and don't go back to it.
Mm-hmm. I remember one time when we first started dating, we were talking about this, and you were like, it's like God hits the delete button. I don't know why I remember that so clearly. We were both so young and stupid, but it was and full of technology. But I mean, it was just like, I don't know, it's just an image that sticks with me.
But that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
He hits the delete button.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you do the same sin again, mm-hmm. don't wait a month.
Right.
Go right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will forget.
Yeah. But to think about it being a newly baptized person, like if I were to look at myself or you know, just think about somebody who is even an adult and is newly baptized, but a baby too, that you have this beautiful white garment and this, you know, beautiful protection and grace of God,
mm-hmm.
and then it's just getting mucked up
mm-hmm.
because you're just fouling it up all the time with
yeah.
your passions and sinfulness. Mm-hmm. It's to be able to renew and make that white and clean again is kind of
sure. Like, but I mean, think about it. Let's say we would put a white garment on or white clothes on,
mm-hmm.
and go, let's say, whole week.
Mm-hmm.
In the same clothes.
Yeah.
Would they be pure white at the end of the week?
No.
They wouldn't be.
Mm-mm.
So imagine this image with your head, where your thoughts are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are your thoughts pure and clean that they will not dirty up that heavenly robe that God gave you?
Yeah. Wow. It's really.
No, I didn't
think about.
And Saint Climacus, Saint John Climacus, today his commemoration this Sunday, he said that he has experienced monks having a little like notebooks around their belts with a pencil, and every thought they would come to their head, they would write it down.
Good or bad, or just bad?
I think it was good and bad.
Mm.
But let's say we just as a Christians nowadays had in our phone a list of thoughts that came through, and we deemed them to be bad thoughts,
mm-hmm.
anger, hatred, judgment,
pride,
you know, all these things that happen throughout the day, it would be a long list.
Yeah.
But then next day, and if we confessed it, the next day we would try our best not to do them, and we would fall.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we always do.
Yeah.
But it might be lesser list,
mm-hmm.
or at least we'll try to do our best.
Or less times doing
mm-hmm.
one thing, or you know, maybe concentrating on doing this less.
Yeah. So it was
yeah.
cool for him to say like, well, these monks.
It's like an examination of conscience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to do anyway. At the end of the night, if you have a public and prayer book,
mm-hmm.
and you do your evening prayers, that's what you do.
Yeah.
That's something that. Even if somebody is not capable of doing prayers, at least the examination of conscience should be done.
Yeah.
You know, it's like even at our job, you know, at the end of the day, either you or somebody else go to the cash register and
balances.
You check out the balances.
Mm-hmm.
Is the balance negative, positive, or okay?
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
in this case, spiritual case, positive would be much better, but at least it should be normal, like not plus, not minus.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's negative, if there are sins, run to confession.
Right.
And
man, oh man, because I always it just seems like I'm always writing the same thing over and over again. Like for every day between if I'm doing it every day or something, it's I don't know.
I do too. But sometimes it's interesting to if you keep your notes and if you go back a year.
Yeah. Oh man, true.
Much different list.
Yeah, very true.
Deeper list too. Probably bigger list.
Yeah.
But you can realize how your conscience is just like cutting through this crap.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've done this.
Yeah.
You know, there's no excuse.
And like it seems
rather than like, oh, I didn't know that this is a sin.
Yeah. And when you put a name to it or you write it down and you are aware of it, you're more aware of it.
Absolutely.
The next day. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're getting off track, but
no. Well, I mean, it is part of this.
Yeah.
Because it is a cycle, baptism. But now, continuing with another paragraph, it's interesting that church allows. I didn't thought of it. Maybe I'm being stupid or I have not learned this well. But church doesn't give, as far as I know, sacraments to everybody. Meaning, like, if you are not baptized, you can receive sacraments.
Okay,
so like you can't have Christian burial, you can't receive Eucharist, but baptism you can.
What do you mean? Like you can receive, baptism is the beginning.
Baptism is the beginning.
Yeah.
If you receive baptism,
then that opens the doors
to everything,
for all those other mysteries.
Everything that church can offer, but.
Unless that.
Yeah.
Then you can't.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So that is exactly, it's the beginning.
It's the beginning.
Yeah.
So and he says this, baptism is the first mystery sacrament in Christianity. It makes a Christian man worthy to be vouchsafed the gifts of grace through other mysteries also.
Wow.
Okay. And I want to continue with what happens at the baptism. So after the dunking of the child, and there are prayers, you know, you pray for the water, you pray for the oil, it's blessed. Before the child is dunked, priest anoints the child. I don't know why. I'm using different book, my baptism book, and confused a little bit. And he anoints these 6 parts of body, forehead, that the mind may be open to understanding and acceptance of the mysteries of the faith of Christ. So we understand the mysteries that are open to us by receiving the baptism. And to the knowledge of His truth. So meaning understanding the gospel. So like our brains can understand what God is like, what God is teaching us, what kind of commandments He's giving us in the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Then He anoints breast for the healing of soul and body, that we may love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and that we may love our neighbor as ourselves. Now He is giving us the commandment that we may love our neighbor, that we might love God first, and then that we may love our neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as it is the gospel, it's one of the highest commandments: love your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Then ears, that the ears may be ready to listen to the teachings of faith and accept the words of the divine gospel. So it's not just gospel, but writings of the fathers who, like, for example, my father was talking about homily.
Mm-hmm.
He named so many saints that one can pick up a book and start living according to their, not commandments, but like...
Their teaching.
Their teaching, yes.
Just like St. Theophan, like we're doing right now.
Exactly. Shoulders that be willingly take upon an easy yoke of Christ and gladly carry his light burden, and that we may shun all craving on sensuality. This is taken from the gospel today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. Hands. Then we may innocently raise our hands to heaven and to do the right thing all times and bless the Lord. So, you know, if somebody makes us angry at the drive or at the road, we shouldn't, you know, show him the finger. No, I mean, seriously.
That's a really good example. Extreme.
Well, I'd rather say it this way. Sorry, your listeners. And then the last one is feet, that we may walk in the path of the commandments of Christ. Walk the narrow path towards him.
The path to salvation.
Path to salvation, like St. Theophan says. So it's beautiful. It's this mystery of baptism is such a beautiful ceremony where we literally kick open to paradise. And it's beautiful. If you remember when we were installing an icon of Christ in our church, and I think I still have it on my Facebook page, on Miriam Marie Icons, that profile picture where Elijah, my godchild, he was running around the church, and you know everybody was standing in the back because it was, I think Christ was fourth icon, one of the main ones that was finished. and Elijah just ran, and then he stopped and he looked at the icon.
You should share that too.
And he giggled. You know, and then he continued running again. But he was just like, and he was young, maybe what, 2 years?
Yeah, two or three years. Maybe.
And it's just like, what are you seeing that I am not seeing? You know, and there are many more kids that done that, but this was very my first experience of Elijah doing that.
And now we can see the little ones before liturgy or something running across the icon screen, going icon to icon, just I think venerating every icon. Martha and Lucia last week, I think.
Lucia was running on the step back and forward, and Martha was going to, and she was like, you know, I was behind the altar. And all you hear is just like,
it's so true.
And I'm like, what's happening? So I look outside, like I look up and I see like Martha running around and venerating all the prophets because that's what she can reach.
Yeah, that's so cool.
But how beautiful that is. Like, who does that?
I know, it's crazy.
I mean, we should all do this.
Yeah, I know.
And yet this child is just is just making the house of God her home.
Yeah.
And is becoming friends with saints and prophets.
Yeah.
Just by venerating them.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
So cool. So I'm sorry that we are going back and forward a little bit with our stories, but I think the practical stories are the best stories to like hit the mind, at least for me. Now, he gets a little bit, not complex, but it's difficult to explain this few last sentences. You basically explained the last one.
I jumped way ahead.
But it was fitting. But maybe I'll just read it. Without it, one cannot enter into the Christian world and become a member of the church.
With baptism.
Without baptism, yes. The pre-eternal wisdom has made a house for himself upon earth, and the door leading into this house is the mystery of baptism. So basically, the pre-eternal wisdom made a house, made a church, church building upon earth. And the door leading, so if we want to enter that church, we need to be baptized. By this door, not only do people enter into the house of God, but at this door, they Also, they are clothed in garments worthy of it. Mm-hmm. So we are receiving at the baptism the white garment. Mm-hmm. They receive a new name. Not always, but sometimes some parents have a changed name.
Yeah.
And the sign which is impressed upon the whole being of the one being baptized. It's like a seal. Mm-hmm. And in a
the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. So during the service, the priest...
It's after, I think.
The priest takes chrism, holy chrism, mm-hmm. which is...
holy oil, kind of?
It's a little bit different than oil, but it's still oil.
Yeah.
It's made with like a lot of spices and everything.
Oh.
So it's always fragrant, always gives you headache. the priest goes and he puts the sign of the cross on each of the parts. So forehead, eyes, nostrils, mouth, ears, breast, hands, and feet. And he says, the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. He seals that grace that was given
mm-hmm.
to us. And that's why right now I'm reading St. Nicodemus' spiritual handbook, where he talks about guarding of the senses. Okay, and then there is St. Theophan in his other books on spiritual life. He talks 10 chapters on guarding ourselves from guarding the senses.
10 chapters?
Yeah, 10
Jeez.
Chapters. And then, I'm sorry, 10 letters.
Okay.
Which is the same thing.
Okay, yeah.
And then St. Cassian, he wrote Institutes, doing the same thing, guarding of the senses. So this is like our a shield.
Mm.
All right. Now, if we break the seal, we need to go to confession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if like in the gospel it says, visually, if we lost or we looked at the woman or a guy lustfully,
mm-hmm.
you know, then we have already committed the sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of other, I think adultery. So, can't remember now. So, and it's everything. What kind of music do we listen? Does this music
edify us or
take us away from Christ and give us the thoughts that are sinful?
Yeah.
And others, I'm not saying, but I'm just saying that my English is not good today.
It's
I'm sorry.
Fine. No, but I mean, you were just reading that last little sentence.
Yes.
They received a new name.
Means of, and that's how we are being recognized, as you said at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, like if we enter the church and all these seals that priest has given us
mm-hmm.
are not broken, or are fixed through repentance and confession, then we are being recognized by heavenly beings and God.
Yeah. And but not only recognized, but it says recognize and distinguish them.
Yeah.
So it's you are made apart
mm-hmm.
from those who aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to. I'm happy we read this because on the Holy Week there is there are special matins from Monday through Wednesday where we await the bridegroom. It's a beautiful service where we reflect upon what's going to happen on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
mm-hmm.
Saturday, Sunday. And we somehow get into this mood of preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
And the first is, behold, the bridegroom is coming in the middle of the night. We don't know when Christ is coming, you know, for us, if we think about it. But we should have our garment ready. But now this hymn is, I see your bridal chamber completely and gold fifth white, O my Savior. And I do not have a wedding garment to enter and enjoy your brightness. Fill the garment of my soul with light and save me. The wedding garment is the garment that we are given at the baptism. You know? And, I mean, you could say too, for our wedding, you would not want to come in a dirty wedding garment.
Mm. True.
You know?
Mm.
So, it's the same thing for us. It's not just this week, this Lent. It's every day. We need to see how our garment looks, and if it's not clean, run to confession.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hesitate. You know, Barberton is such a huge blessing that my father is always there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and always available
to, for confession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there are so many churches that they don't offer this.
Yeah.
So if you are in Barberton in our parish, or if you are even not and you're just stumbling upon this podcast, it's okay to bug your priest for confession.
Mm-hmm.
It's their job. And even though I'm not a priest yet, but I know I've heard many priests say that that's the most joyous part of a job they can do, is receive a text or a phone call of people begging to come to confession.
Mm-hmm.
So don't hesitate. Renew your promises that you have given
through baptism.
Through baptism, and this is not a loophole. You know, because some might say, "Well, my parents promised this, but I didn't."
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, they promised for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you were able to speak and think, you would be making those promises.
Yeah.
So go, don't wait. Especially now we have
2 weeks.
Two and a half weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
To
Pascha, but
mm-hmm.
2.5 before like we really just like go all in.
Yeah.
So don't hesitate. Go to confession. And so that resurrection, we await Christ with a pure garment.
Mm-hmm.
Through the prayers of the Holy Fathers, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us.